Welcome to John E. Pierce Provincial Park. I'm very happy that you've visited today. My name is Angela, and I will guide you as you explore biodiversity in our backyard. Before we begin, I'd like to point out the locations of convenience during your visit. Barrier-free washrooms are located in the wooden building near the parking lot, as well as in the building directly behind the red brick house. A brown garbage can is in the parking lot, as well as a place to securely park bicycles. The entrance to the Spicer Trail, which takes you on a walk through the rest of the provincial park, is north of the parking lot and east of the Story Wetlands Trail. The trail itself is marked with blue and red signs. We hope any pictures you take and post to your social media accounts will mention us. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram using @BacchusPageHouse and Facebook by searching Bacchus Page House Museum. Tag us on each of your pictures or comment so we can share and interact with you. This is also a good way to get more information on the wetlands. From May 1st through to Thanksgiving during hours of operation, staff and volunteers are available inside the office directly behind the red brick house to accept your museum admission fee, answer any questions, sell cold beverages, or a society membership. Located inside the office is a small collection of taxidermy and a select number of wildlife books. As you leave the parking lot at the start of the walkway, there is a kiosk on your left with notices for upcoming events, volunteering, and becoming a museum member. This audio takes you through the interpretive signs installed along the trail. Let's begin with the first two signs. When you hear this sound, pause the audio until you get to the next interpretive sign. I'll see you there for the next segment. Our tour today will follow the trail map of the wetlands shown on the first white sign at the entrance to the wetlands. Remember, for your protection and the protection of the park, stay on the trail and do not remove any plants or other natural objects you find. Take only photos and leave nothing but footprints. The Wetland Story Trail is 1.5 kilometers in length and should take you approximately 1 hour to complete. The terrain is flat and easy. Welcome to John E. Pierce Provincial Park. Located in the historic Talbot Settlement, the park is well known for its beautiful display of spring wildflowers, abundant birding opportunities, and breathtaking lookout from 30 meters above Lake Erie. For many years, the area you are currently walking on was an active agricultural field. In 2015, Ontario Parks began collaboration with several partners and worked to restore this area back to a wetlands and meadow habitat. The Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry and Ontario Parks are committed to restoring and renaturalizing as much Crown land as possible to increase and promote the ecological integrity of our parks and landscape. John E. Pierce Provincial Park has experienced a major restoration project, including the construction of 3 wetland cells, tall grass prairie planting, pine plantation thinning, and the creation of an interpretive trail. This project could not have been possible without our many amazing partners, a list of which can be seen on the second interpretive sign. During this tour, you will have the opportunity to learn more about the natural heritage and history of this area and the importance of the habitat. A question we are asked frequently is why call this the Wetland Story Trail? Mary Story, whose maiden name was Mary Patterson, was born in Fermanagh County, Ireland in 1758 and married her late husband Andrew Story. In the year 1800, at the age of 42, Mary's siblings, her children, and Mary immigrated to Baltimore, Maryland. As is common at the time, bouts of illness swept through the community they lived in. Their doctor suggested they move to Pennsylvania, and they did. On July 14, 1809, just 9 short years after coming to the Americas, Mary arrived in Dunwich Township with her son and daughters. With them were her brother Leslie Patterson and his wife, Lydia Backus, and their sister, Frances, and her husband, John Pierce. Colonel Thomas Talbot welcomed all of them to his new settlement. Mary and her son Walter were granted Lot 11, Concession 10, prime land to the west from the Colonels. Her home was built on the lakeside of what you now know as Lakeview Line. It is incredible to know her land has become John E. Pierce Provincial Park, Backus Page House Museum, St. Peter's Anglican Church and Cemetery, and two private homes. If you have time today, take a minute and visit Mary's grandson's home, now Backus Page House Museum, for more about their family's history in this community. There are four types of wetlands in Ontario: marshes, swamps, bogs, and fens. In general, a wetland is an area that is saturated with water long enough for the soil to become waterlogged. They support a variety of water-loving and water-tolerant plants and animals. Our wetlands are marshes and are typical of what Colonel Talbot and the early settlers would have seen when they arrived here. Thomas Talbot, an Irish-born nobleman, landed at what he named Port Talbot on May 22, 1803. Talbot started his homestead and began his plan for settlement and land accumulation. Thomas Talbot would be named colonel of the 1st Middlesex Militia during the War of 1812. Almost anyone could obtain a land grant, but settler duties needed to be completed and a fee paid to receive your patent. Settlers were required to erect a good and sufficient building to be occupied by the owner or a substantial tenant. 10 acres must be cleared and fenced within 2 years. Half the road had to be cleared in front of the lot, and no trees were to be left standing within 100 feet of the road. Many of the early settlers built log cabins, eventually replacing them with wood frame or brick houses. The four founding families, Patterson, Pierce, Story, and Backus, brought cattle with them, and shortly after, sheep were purchased in Ingersoll for their farms. They had brought their looms and spinning wheels with them to manufacture woolen and linen goods. Manpower alone was used to transform this landscape into farmland until horse or oxen could be purchased. Over the years, the land Colonel Talbot was in charge of has become 29 townships and numerous communities. Just like in our society, we think of communities in the natural world too. An ecological community is a collection of interacting species living in the same general habitat, which often influence each other through the food chain and by competition for resources. You are probably curious about why such a dense patch of white pine stands here in a provincial park, especially when we are continuously advocating for biodiversity. Well, this is just stage one of restoring field into forest. Pine trees are fast-growing and often resistant to browsing by small mammals and deer. Therefore, these saplings have a better chance of survival into mature trees. The shade from the adult pines also creates an organic form of weed control. Once the grasses and other small plants have died out, we can thin the plantation to allow more sunlight into the understory and allow hardwood trees, shrubs, and wildflowers to flourish. Over time, this pine plantation will look like the mixed forest of southwestern Ontario, typical of what would have been here pre-contact. This particular region of southern Ontario, north of Lake Erie to the Niagara River, was home to the Neutral Nation. An archaeological survey in 1981 shows a hamlet from around the year 1400 within John E. Pierce Provincial Park, which predates contact with the Europeans. The name Neutral Nation was given by the French explorer Samuel de Champlain because he learned this group was neutral in the war between the Iroquois and the Hurons and lived between the two. The Hurons called them the Attawandaronk, meaning peoples of a slightly different language, and the Neutrals called the Hurons by the same name. By the 1640s, the Iroquois invaded the Neutral Nation. These peoples were either killed, taken prisoner, or driven off. Moving forward, this area was used as a hunting grounds for various First Nations. Unfortunately, the plants and animals that the First Nations were using in this area are very different to what we see today. An invasive species is a species which is not native to an area. It has the potential to cause damage to the environment, economy, and society. More than 185 non-native species have become established in the Great Lakes Basin. If left unmanaged, these species will outcompete native plants and wildlife, which creates unbalanced and unhealthy ecosystems. The Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry and Ontario Parks are committed to maintaining the ecological integrity of our parks, which means managing invasive species in the most efficient and environmentally friendly way that we can. Oftentimes, this can include pulling and/or cutting invasive plants by hand, applying a localized pesticide treatment, and educating the public on how they can help stop the spread of these invasive species to new places. For more information on how you can help, please keep your eyes peeled for the invasive species sign on the side of the trail, or come into the carriage house behind the red brick house. The Red Brick House, now the Backus Page House Museum, was built by Robert Morris for Andrew and Mary Jane Backus. Andrew had inherited Lot 11, Concession 10, from his grandmother, Mary Patterson Story. When Andrew died in 1884, he left the farm to his son, Andrew Story Backus. Andrew Story Backus and his wife Eliza sold the south half of the land in 1923 to John E. Pierce, a great-great-grandson of Mary Story, and the man the park was named for. In 1925, Morley Page purchased the north half of the property, consisting of 100 acres. Morley and Grace Page lived on the farm from January 1925 until September 1976. John E. Pierce donated his 11.7 hectares southern portion of Lot 11, Concession 10, to the province of Ontario, and it officially became a provincial park on June 20, 1957. Morley and Grace Page sold their northern portion to the provincial government, expanding the park to 67.9 hectares. Change is all around us, in the air, the water, and the land. Some changes can be seen over the course of the day, like watching a thunderstorm roll in, or over a year, like the changes in the seasons. Other changes are more gradual, like changes in our climate, but they affect the world in many ways. Our climate is changing due to an increase in certain greenhouse gases within our atmosphere. These gases keep more heat within our system, which is gradually warming and subsequently changing our climate. This change can disrupt many natural processes, including average global temperature, rainfall patterns, and growing seasons. This, in turn, affects many different species that rely on specific climate conditions, our agricultural crops, and the way in which we interact with our environment. Wetlands like this one are an important part of our landscape, providing many benefits for our fight against a changing climate. They can provide services such as holding water from storm surges to prevent local flooding and sequestering a great deal of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. Three other benefits a wetland can provide are clean water, a habitat for the local flora and fauna, and resources for humans such as food and energy sources. A species at risk is any plant or animal that naturally occurs within an area but is in danger of extinction or disappearing from a place. In Ontario, there are over 220 species considered at risk because their natural habitats are disappearing at an alarming rate. More than 20% of these species directly rely on wetlands for their survival. Wetland habitats are now rare in southern Ontario due to urban development and large-scale agricultural practices. Remember to report your sightings. Did you find something really cool on your walk today? Make sure you report your sighting to help our biologists better care for our species and their habitats. You can use a number of online and smartphone applications or report your sightings to a staff member on site. Don't forget to make a note of where you saw it and what it was doing. Hopefully you have come to the conclusion that that wetlands are an amazingly productive and diverse collection of habitats that are an important part of our landscape. They provide us, and the many species that depend on them, with a variety of different resources and services, including shelter, food, water filtration, carbon isolation, and flood protection. Wetlands are dynamic systems that can change from year to year, depending on water levels, spring melt, and rainfall. They are also very sensitive to changes in their surroundings, such as the introduction of non-native species. Thank you for spending part of your day with us and letting us share just a bit of our history with you. We hope you will come back and visit us again and see what John E. Pierce Provincial Park and the Backus Page House Museum have to offer. If you feel up to it, please continue your walk on the Spicer Trail. This trail was named after Lawrence Spicer, a well-known World War II veteran, local naturalist, and the driving force for the creation of this recreational trail. This trail will lead you through a variety of successional habitats, which showcase the many interesting species that call John E. Pierce Provincial Park home. Nestled within the Carolinian zone, you can find many of the same species of plants and animals that are characteristic of forests much further south. Look out for Carolinian-specific trees like the majestic tulip tree, the fragrant spice bush, or the unique sassafras, and animals such as the Virginian opossum, wild turkey, or red-bellied woodpecker. Have a great day, and should you have comments, suggestions, or compliments, please let one of our staff or volunteers know, or send us a tweet at Backus Page House or email info@backuspagehouse.ca.